Okay, sit back and join me in this opening word that we speak today. We have come together this morning by divine appointment. Each of us is here for some purpose. We are collectively and individually working together to make this world a better place. This morning, we start with ourselves. We look at the path of the brave-hearted. Look within our hearts and open our minds to see whatever pearl it is we may receive today, and then use that. Take that home with us. Take it into the week with us. And allow it to give us some spiritual guidance. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We are told to be glad in it, to express joy, to experience the happiness and the joy that we've been given in this wonderful thing called life. So this morning, our hearts are filled and opened with gratitude. Our minds are open and receptive to accept the truth. We also know that with us, only perhaps in spirit, are all people and all other forms of worship. All cultures, all religions, everywhere, that we are all one, proud to be all one, unified in that power, that presence, and that mind, that which we call God, infinite good. We are grateful for this truth. We now let this be. We give thanks, and together we say, and so it is. So our monthly theme is the path of the brave-hearted. This morning, I'm asking us all to take a stand. You don't have to stand up, but to take a stand. To put our spiritual shoulders back. To be fully and completely present. To be willing to step out of our comfort zone. And to be brave enough to see, to accept, and to love ourselves just as we are. And then I would like you to also consider taking that same stance for our world family, where justice and compassion and the dignity of all beings is concerned. Today's topic is a sense of true belonging. Is it bull or reality? I ask your pardon for the bull word. The reason I used it, you will see as the talk progresses, that it just happens to be the word that Brené Brown uses in her book, and that's what my talks are based on this month. Her wonderful book called Braving the Wilderness. Brené Brown is a social scientist. She's also a PhD. She's also a three-time New York Times best-selling author. And the way she describes herself in this book is a qualitative ground theory researcher. The goal of grounded theory is to develop theories based on people's lived experiences, rather than proving or disproving existing theories. Researchers aspire to understand what is called the main concern of study of their participants. She says true belonging only happens when we present our authentic experiences imperfect selves to the world, that our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. Now, Brown has sparked a global conversation about experiences that bring meaning into our lives. Most of her books are really based on that. The Gifts of Imperfection, Daring Greatly, and Rising Strong. You may have heard her TED Talk, The Power of Vulnerability, which I believe is one of the top five most viewed TED Talks in the world, more than 30 million views. So she has more or less created this conversation. She's pretty bold about it and pretty honest about it. I want to do her justice. Being ourselves sometimes means having to find the courage to stand totally alone. True belonging is not something that we achieve or that we accomplish with others. It's really something that we carry in our hearts. Once we belong thoroughly to ourselves and believe thoroughly in ourselves, true belonging is ours. Nobody says it better than Maya Angelou. She said, "You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place, no place at all. The price is high. The reward is great." Here's the challenge. Belonging to ourselves means being called to stand alone. Standing alone means to brave the wilderness of uncertainty, of vulnerability, and something we all love, criticism. And then also remembering that even though we are alone, we are still connected to one another by love and certainly by the human spirit. Brown asked her study participants two questions regarding belonging. One was, what are people trying to achieve? The second one is, what are people worried about? The answers were a bit complex. They want to be a part of something, to experience real connection with others, but not at the cost of their authenticity, not at the cost of their freedom, and not at the cost of giving up their power. The participants further reported that feeling surrounded by us versus them cultures created feelings of a spiritual disconnection. They described spiritually disconnected as a diminishing sense of shared humanity. And their concern is that the only thing that binds us together right now is shared fear and disdain, not common humanity, shared trust, respect, or love. They also repeated that they felt more afraid to disagree or debate with friends or colleagues, and even their family, because of the lack of civility and tolerance. Reluctant to choose between being loyal to a group and being loyal to themselves, but lacking that deeper spiritual connection to shared humanity, they were far more aware of the pressure to fit in and to conform. As different as we are, under it all, we're deeply connected. Let's look at how they define spirituality. I think this is interesting, especially for us. And this is how spirituality is defined. Recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than all of us. And that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. Now, there were four elements of true belonging that emerged from the responses of her research. In reading them, I see that each one is really a daily practice. It also feels like a bit of a paradox. The first one is, people are hard to hate, close up, move in. Speak truth to BS, be civil. Hold hands with strangers, strong back, soft front, wild heart. The wilderness is used as a metaphor to represent everything from a vast and dangerous environment where we are focused to navigate difficult trials to a refuge of nature and beauty where we seek space for contemplation. But what all wilderness metaphors have in common are the notions of solitude, the feelings of vulnerability, and an emotional or physical quest. It takes special courage to experience true belonging. It's not just about braving the wilderness, it's about becoming the wilderness. Breaking down the walls, abandoning our own ideological bunkers, as Brown refers to it, and living from our wild heart rather than our hurt heart. This means we are intentionally placing ourselves and being with people who are different than we are. We will have to learn how to listen, how to have hard conversations, how to start looking for joy, and yes, share pain, but be much more curious than we are defensive, while still seeking moments of togetherness. This might speak to some of you who might feel from time to time hopeless or helpless in this particular climate. One of the things about being authentic spiritually is not to do a bypass, is to be true to our feelings, be authentic to the way we might be feeling, which sometimes is hopeless and sometimes can feel very helpless. But this true belonging that Brown is writing about isn't some sort of a passive thing where we kind of just join a group or we fit in somewhere or pretend or we sell out because it's safer. She's talking not about safety. She's talking about a real sense of individual security. This, for us, in this particular teaching, will require us practicing our practice. Again, not passively, but quite assertively, while at the same time being vulnerable. And along with that vulnerability, we will most likely feel uncomfortable. because we will have to be fully present without sacrificing who we are and whose we are and being proud of whose we are. Your real self is never bound to anything. Your real self is never afraid. It always supports the vulnerable and courageous process of trust, both trusting others and trusting ourselves. Brené Brown said that the definition of trust that best aligns with her particular data comes from Charles Feltman, who describes trust as choosing to risk making something you value vulnerable to another's actions. Choosing to risk making something you value vulnerable to another's actions. Now listen to how he describes distrust. As deciding that what is important to me is not safe with this person in this situation, or perhaps in any situation. Distrust, as deciding that what is important to me is not safe with this person in this situation, or perhaps any situation. To better understand what we're really talking about when we say trust, there are seven elements of trust that emerged from her data. Now, she uses the acronym BRAVING for the elements because it's a reminder that trusting ourselves or other people is a vulnerable and a courageous process. So the seven elements for trusting others. It starts out with B for boundaries. You respect my boundaries. And when you're not clear about what's okay and not okay, you ask. You're willing to say no. R, reliability. You do what you say you'll do. And this means staying aware of your competencies and limitations so you do not overpromise and are able to deliver on your commitments and balance your competing priorities. Number three, accountability. You own your mistakes, apologize, and make amends. Number four, she uses the word vault. Vault being a secure space in which our valuables would be stored. And she said, you don't share information or experiences that are not yours to share. I need to know that my confidences are kept and that you're not sharing with me any information about other people that should be confidential. Number five, integrity. This one we're all going to need to take a drink before. Are you ready? You awake? You choose courage over comfort. You choose what is right over what is fun, what is fast, or what is easy. And you choose to practice your values rather than simply professing them. Number six, non-judgment. I can ask for what I need, and you can ask for what you need. We can talk about how we feel without judgment. Number 7, generous. This is a good one for all of us. You extend the most generous interpretation possible to the intentions, words, and actions of others. I'll read it again. You extend the most generous interpretation possible to the intentions, words, and actions of others. Now, let's look at the 7 elements of self-trust. Self-trust in the wilderness, she says, is most important. Fear will lead us astray, and arrogance is even more dangerous. Now, as I reread the checklist and change the pronouns, we'll see that braving also works as a very powerful tool for assessing our level of self-trust. Okay, B. Did I respect my own boundaries? Was I clear about what's okay and what is not okay? Number 2, R, was I reliable? Did I do what I said I was going to do? Number 3, A, did I hold myself accountable? V, did I respect the vault and share appropriately? Number 5, did I act from integrity? Number 6, the N in braving, did I ask for what I needed? Was I non-judgmental about needing help? And the G, was I generous toward myself? Now, that's all well and good, isn't it? Very interesting. This is probably why you'll want to purchase the book. But here's the quest as well as the paradox. We all know that we must find our own way in this glorious trek called the journey of life. We also know that the practice of truth is personal to each of us, and that in the long run, that no one can live our lives for us. That's something that we have to do. It's something that we have full custody of for a very, very long time. We're each given what we need, and they say that the gifts of heaven are given to all alike. So nobody is given any more special gift than you are. We've all been given these gifts. The question I propose to you this morning is, how do you choose to use these gifts? Because that is ultimately all that matters. And it certainly matters right now in our individual lives and certainly in our world. We understand that no two paths are alike. We are told that we're each magnificent individualized expressions of God, of the infinite, of this great power and presence that is within us. Our paths may not be alike, even though from time to time we may share the same map. Your experience will be different than mine, and your experiences will be different than everyone else's experience. Joseph Campbell wrote something very interesting about our path. He said, if you can see your path laid out in front of you step by step, you know it's not your path. Your own path you make with every step you take. And that's why it's called Your Path. So if you were under the impression or thought perhaps your path should be already laid out in front of you and you should know exactly what you ought to be doing, this could perhaps shine a new light on it. So true belonging perhaps isn't what we thought it was. It isn't finding a place where we belong. It really is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself. But belonging to yourself so deeply that you are willing to share your most authentic self with the world. In addition to that, it's to find the sacredness in being a part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. No one promised that this would be an easy journey, because it means navigating many paradoxes, means balancing the heart and the mind, being with and yet being alone. It means exploring new ways of doing things, ways we know not of. And then it also requires that we assert boundaries while we maintain our cool, or as she said, be civil. It's also finding that sacredness in being a part of something, and also that same sacredness when we're braving this wilderness alone. I don't think this is an easy task, to be a witness to the truth when we're alone in this unchartered territory, this wilderness that we have actually accepted to become our vulnerability, for us to be willing to look through what could appear helpless or hopeless, what might even look divisive, and what might even sometimes encourage us to divide ourselves even more. Of course, that's the time she says, move closer, hold hands with a stranger. For those of us who are here together, we have a sense of what all this means, what this journey will entail, and what it so far has called us to do. It's those of us who are outside of here, who need support, who need the empowerment that you have. We talked about this in class on Wednesday, when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, not dragged down, I will draw all unto me. That means the work for you, as well as the work for me, is to rise up by waking up to everything around us, not just what is in our own heads and hearts, but to awaken to what is around us and have those difficult, hard conversations. To not just act as though you understand when you do not, but it is to check and ask for verification. Rather than wasting your energy, time, your tissues, and cells on misinterpreting something or someone, ask. I want to understand you. I want to know how you feel. I want to know what motivated that. You know, it's never what we do. It's always the consciousness behind it. What's the consciousness that motivates someone to be mean or sarcastic or to dismiss you? That's where we need to look, within ourselves. In this particular journey, where can we find sacredness? Where can we find commonality and comradeship with one another when we disagree, when we don't have the same points of view? Because until we discover that in this wilderness that we're all walking through, we're going to have a world that is always crying for peace. And we'll be singing this peace song till doomsday, singing the words, "And it begins with me." Is that what we awaken to? Is that what we have accepted accountability for? Is that where our integrity is? I was talking not long ago with someone about pettiness. And I happen to be petty much of the time. That's part of living with my monkey mind. Although I'm aware of it, so I have an understanding. Where we get into trouble is defending and denying that we have these little petty thoughts, that we perhaps have feelings that separate us, that perhaps from time to time, no one in this room, we might judge one another. You think? Even if we're saying you're gorgeous, you're fabulous, you're beautiful, you're handsome, that's a judgment, is it not? So we want to look at not judging, but where does the judgment come between us? Where does that make it so we're not one? We're not unified? Where does that judgment sort of break the sacredness of what Brown calls this wilderness? The place that we don't know really how to navigate, to really be ourselves. Navigating to really be ourselves is to discover what Maya Angelou said, we belong everywhere and nowhere. So now we know for sure that the belonging comes within our own hearts, just like she said. I read another beautiful poem, it was an interview that Bill Moyers did with her, and he asked her something. How's Maya? And she said, I like Maya. I care for Maya. Maya is great. I like her. Can you imagine how many decades and what that woman went through to get there? Do I like Maya? I care for her. I think the message there is to take care. I was going to say, take care of your Maya. Take care of that brave soul within you. Take care of that boldness that you are, and don't lose your cool. And remember civility and tolerance. Those two words can help us a lot. Being civil to one another and being tolerant to one another. not walking away, but standing up and standing tall, being willing to listen and to hear what we do not want to hear. And then be willing to do something with it in our own spiritual realization and consciousness that doesn't add, I was going to say, to the fury. But you know what I mean. That it doesn't add to this race mind consciousness, this pool of which we are all contributing. Just a reminder, every thought that you think, every notion that you have, whether it refers to the past, the present, or to the future, every belief that you have goes into this race mind consciousness. Perhaps the negative thought you had about yourself this morning. I don't know, maybe it was a bad hair Sunday. The smallest and most trifle things that we may not think about, let Maya remind us to say, I like me. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to allow myself to be authentic, to be vulnerable, to say what might not be acceptable, and to say what people may not approve of, by maintaining a consciousness of kindness and understanding. This doesn't mean that we suddenly just blurt out. This means that we each as individuals have to create a whole new program, a whole new process of how this thing is all going to work out. How is it I'm going to communicate into something that appears very foreign to me, that I don't understand? Why she uses the word BS, and further into the month I'll use it again, is she makes a very clear distinction between lying and BSing. And it's two very, very different things. Our tendency, if we don't know about something, is to do a little BSing. Anybody here ever done it? Of course, we all have. And we certainly have had it done unto us, have we not? Of course. She's saying that that isn't going to work anymore. That all that's going to work is the truth. And as we know, the truth will set us free. When we're lying, we know we're lying. We know we're lying. When your mother said to you, and did you do your homework, and you know darn well you didn't do your homework, and you say, oh yes, I did my homework. So lying is something we know we're doing, BSing, not so much, but I'll explain that as we get into it, and maybe you'll do yourself a wonderful favor, purchase this book and begin reading it. It's pretty life-changing. It's a great and wonderful introspective book. It's something that really has us look at all the things that we know about. Our desire for approval, our desire for self-acceptance, our desire for agreement, our desire to be liked, and what we will do in order to interpret or perceive something as liking us, when really we don't know anyway. Our hopeless and helpless way of surrendering, rather than boldly surrendering with a sense of power. rather than naming it, yep, this is wilderness. This is territory I've not been before. This is new. How many of you are going through great changes in your lives right now? It's real uncharted territory. Well, if you're not, you're about to. So get ready. What we need is this strengthening. What we need is the armor of truth. Not to scare us, but to give us the strength that we need. And again, to discover we belong everywhere and nowhere. As Maya Angelou tells us, the price is high, but the reward is great. What do you think she meant by that? The price is high, but the reward is great. Let's allow these words, even though we may not exactly understand them in this particular moment, but let's take these words with us throughout the week and let them empower us as well as empower others. Ernest Holmes designed this teaching, yes, for us to use for ourselves, and clearly to also use for others, so that others could have an understanding that they also have complete control of their thoughts, that we are accountable and responsible for our experiences. That's what makes us cause, the cause in our experiences. I think the authentic and imperfectness of all of us is what the world is waiting for. The world is waiting for authenticity. The world is waiting for you and your way in which you could communicate with a stranger, or perhaps shine the truth where it looks like something else is going on. Imagine the empowerment, the support, and the kindness for another person when perhaps you don't agree, but you stop, listen, and become fully present, and then seek to understand. You know, it's easier to just walk away. But that's when she talks about simple, easy, and fast. That's sort of the automatic world we live in now, right? Everything's got to be simple, it's got to be easy, and it's got to be fast. But here's one thing she says for sure. We'll never be able to brave this wilderness by being online. It's only going to happen in our one-on-one interpersonal relationships. That's how we'll brave it. And we need one another as we go through the paradox, as well as the quest and the desire for belonging in a new way. It's quite freeing to discover I actually belong to me. And I'm proud that I belong to me. Again, I end with probably the most important statement. True belonging does not mean you change who you are. It means you become who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Sit back, relax. Let's surrender to that unknown place, perhaps the place we don't even know where to go, but the place where we feel free, we feel ourselves, where we know who we are and we connect with whose we are, that place. And let's know that we are connected with every person in this room and every person outside of this room and every living thing on this planet, that we are claiming oneness, that there's no possible way we could be separate from anyone. In knowing that, we move forward with a greater sense of boldness and also recognizing we're not alone on this journey. Even though we may navigate through the wilderness by ourselves, we know that when we go in, deeply within, we discover a power within us greater than we are. We discover a guide, a protector, and a presence that directs us, that embraces us, that engages us in who we are, and blesses us for being exactly who we are. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it is.